Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, it is a blessing to be here today. And I hope that each and every one of you, though it's afternoon, that you will pay attention. Oh, you children, will you pay attention to me this afternoon? Yes? Yes? Okay. I believe God has a blessing for you if you listen very closely. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I would like to continue a little bit on with what Brother Martin had shared this morning. And he talked about us getting a new name, a new nature,
huh?
The nature that comes from above, not the nature that is of evil. Not the nature that comes from the kingdom of Satan. Do you know that we are all born in sin? Isn't that true? That we were born in sin? The Bible says in the book of Psalms that I had iniquity in my heart while I was in my mother's womb. But it was God's responsibility to each man, woman, and child in the earth to give them an opportunity to either accept or reject Christ in their life. I want to ask a question here today. And only raise your hands if you really know. How many of you are born again? Raise your hands. If you are born again. Don't raise it because you look around, but just you know for yourself that you are born again. Jesus said that unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I myself did not see the kingdom of God, or I was born again until I was 27 years of age. I grew up with an understanding that there was a God in heaven, that he had a son named Jesus Christ, that there was a heaven and there was a hell, and there was a devil. I believed it. But I did not have a born-again experience until I was 27 years of age. I was raised in a religious environment. That spoke about God and the devil. But God was someone far out there and not a reality in here. Now the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we cannot be saved until the word of God comes to us. Do you know that the word comes to us every time we gather together in his name? Right here? We had an example of that this morning as the word of God was coming forth.
Oh, no, no, no.
See, it's not in a man that's ministering the word in and of himself. But when a man is under the authority and unction of the Holy Spirit, that the word of God goes forth to the ears and begins to do a work. It's the reality of the word where Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's there in the midst. Now, are we here watching a football game? No. We're here to be in the presence of God. And because we come in the presence of God, Jesus is here right now. Can we say amen?
Amen.
And if Jesus is here right now, he has a work to do in the heart of each and every one of us. He wants to touch our lives. He wants to change us. But first and foremost, he wants to come inside and dwell in us. As we shared before, that in John chapter 3, Jesus said, you must be born again just to be even to be able to see the kingdom of God. Now, seeing something brings about a hope. It begins to bring a desire for something greater than what one person has. Now, when a man is born again, he receives a life from God. It's more than just saying a prayer. When we ask Christ into our hearts, but there is a power and authority that comes to us. And that's in the form of the blood of Jesus Christ. What makes me a part of the Church of God? What can make you a part of the Church of God? I have heard many times through many years, little churches here, churches there, and they say, we are the true church. The Roman Catholic Church says they are the universal church. They are the true church. The Lutheran Church says they are the true church. The Methodist Church says they are the true church. The Pentecostals say they are the true church. Well, if they all say they're the true church, someone has to be wrong. Do you belong to the true church? Yes? What is the true church? Huh? It's not your fellowship. It's not your little place of being. But it is something that has been instituted by God and purchased by His blood. I want everybody to understand this principle. I mean, how do you want to be part of the Church of God? Raise your hands if you do. Raise your hands if you want to be part of that true church.
All right.
What you're going to understand this afternoon, it's very simple, but very profound. Remember, Jesus said, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. And a number of you have seen this picture of the tabernacle before. This tabernacle is on three levels. You know, your Bible is a spiritual book. There's a natural, there's a spiritual, and there's a fullness. When you look at this tabernacle, it's also a picture in the heavens of Jesus Christ. It's a picture of you. And it's a picture of the church. Because when a man becomes born again, he goes through the gate. And he is first confronted with the brazen altar. And that brazen altar is representative of the cross of Jesus Christ. It represents death to sin. And is symbolic of our salvation. So when a man comes and is born again, a man receives Christ by faith. And let me tell you this first. For the Bible says, no man comes to the Father except for first He draws him. That means that when we had a born again experience, to those who were born again, we weren't searching for God, but God was searching for us. It was Him that first loved us and began to reveal Himself that we would open our hearts up to Him. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We read it so often. We hear it so often. Yet I want you to think today how much God loves you. God loves you. And God loves you. God loves you. And even while this young man is sleeping, God loves him. And God loves you. And God loves you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever will believe on His name. Will not perish but have everlasting life. So in order for us to have everlasting life, In order for us to be part of God's kingdom, in order for us to be part of the church of God, you must be born again. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You see, brethren, I very well remember before I was saved, because I walked 27 years as a sinner and not knowing God. But God in His infinite mercy and love towards me, because I was very ignorant of the Word of God, I was raised Roman Catholic, and Roman Catholicism taught that you were part of the Church of God when you were baptized as a little infant. Oh yes, and I was sprinkled as a little infant. But that did absolutely nothing for me as far as my relationship with God. I was as far away from God as the east is from the west. And because of that ignorance or absence of God, I did what all sinners do. I sinned. I sinned. That's what sinners do. Don't ever get mad at a sinner when they're sinning, because that's what their nature is. Hallelujah. They can't help themselves. The Bible tells us that sinners are under the power of Satan. They're in his kingdom, his domain. But I want to tell you, each one of you here, that in spite of my ignorance of God, in spite of the darkness within my heart, God was looking at my heart and saying, I need to reveal myself to this man. And I'm not talking just about myself, but you could put your name in every one of those places there. Because it's God's responsibility that He died that He might give man an opportunity to live. Hallelujah. So God sent a man to my house, to my wife and to me, and began to just share some very simple things. So simple, it was even easy for me to understand. And he asked a question to me that day. And he said, George, do you know that God is real? How real is God to you? How real is God to you? Children, listen to me. Pay attention. How real is God to you? He wants to make Himself very real to you. Hallelujah. So that night when that man, he was actually he was an evangelist. I didn't know it. But as he talked some simple things to us, well, one of the first things that he said when I said, well, yes, I believe God is real. He said, no. He says, I'm not talking about being in buildings or in statues. But that God is so real as you and me are here right now. Come on. I'm not just talking to people that need to be born again. I'm challenging your walk with God. And how real is He to you? Now, I have not forgotten the question that I talked to you about, where is the true church? That night, when we heard the word of God, and God made Himself so real to us, that we got down on our knees and we said, Jesus Christ. My wife Sue and me at the same time got down alongside our bed at night. We said, God, we know You're real. Come into our lives, Lord. Forgive our sins. And I'm telling you, something happened that night that was so different than the whole 27 years before. That night, we became born again. And I'm going to tell you something. What came to us by being born again was the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood that was shed on Calvary for all those that would call upon the name of the Lord. Now, I want to tell you something about the blood of Jesus. Now, all of us know we have blood, right? Right? Isn't that true? How many of you ever got cut and you bled a little bit? Huh? Have you ever seen your own blood? Huh? All right. Well, I'm going to tell you something about blood. Everything that is about you is recorded in your blood. If you don't have blood in you, you would not be alive. And in the book of Leviticus, it states that the life is in the blood. Amen?
Amen.
So the night I became born again, or to those of you that have received a born-again experience, when the reality of God touched you and you touched God's reality, you received His blood. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on. We received the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you something, I didn't understand it. I did not understand the Word of God. But the one thing I did understand the night that I was born again, that I got an energy and a life that I never had before. Do you hear what I'm saying? God's life came to me, and His life began to wash me of my sins, and I felt so clean. 27 years of being a sinner, sinning against my parents, sinning against others, doing every sin that was known to be committed, I did. And that night when the life of the blood of Jesus touched me, Merlinda, I felt a totally different person. I became a new creation. Hallelujah. Come on, I want to stir you up of the reality of what Jesus Christ brings to us. In just being born again. Hallelujah. It was enough to make me forever not want any part of what I had before. That life, Brother Lito, began to work in me a desire to want God. Hallelujah. To hunger so much that all that mattered was I needed to get more of God inside of me. Nothing else mattered anymore. But to want Him. To know Him. Hallelujah. From that first day forward, the relationship of the living God came in here, in this being, to do a change within me and to make me a part of Him. Hallelujah. Now remember, I asked you, where's the true church? Are we gathered here? Are we the true church? Well, before you think you know the answer, let me just tell you this. In order for you to be part of the true church, you have to be born again. Because once you are born again, you step into this picture of this tabernacle, and you now become God's property. True church is not the Catholic Church. It's not the Methodist Church. It's not the Pentecostal Church. Hallelujah. It's you. If you have the blood of Jesus Christ, you're part of the true church. And you automatically become joined to all those that have the same life substance that you received when you were born again. So we could be sitting in here and there could be some people from a Pentecostal church. And just because they're part of a Pentecostal church doesn't make them part of the true church. But if they are born again, then they are part of the true church. Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand? I mean, it's so simple, but many people don't understand it. What joins you and me together, well, if I was Filipino, it wouldn't be that we're joined together because we're Filipino. But by reason of us both becoming born again and receiving the same blood that Jesus Christ gave on Calvary. That's what makes us brother and sister. If you're born again, you have brothers and sisters all over the world. And they're purchased by the same blood. Hallelujah. Now I want to share with you, you know, Brother Martin was ministering this morning about getting the new name, the new nature. Amen? And many of you came forward in the altar call wanting that change. And to those that made that commitment out of a pure heart, you're going to get it. Hallelujah. But there is a reality that I want to talk to you this afternoon about the relationship of Jesus Christ. I don't know most of you very intimately. I've known a number of you through the years we've been coming to the Philippines. I've seen a lot of you come up to the altar of God to commit your lives to Him. A number of the mothers from the school have come forward to accept Christ in their life, to become born again. But do you know, it's not just being born again that makes us into that place of a relationship with God. It's just the beginning. Hallelujah. It's just the beginning, everyone. God didn't call you to be born again just to leave you in your current state and condition. But God has called you to be His sons. In John chapter 1, the scripture says, let's look at it, John 1. Talking about to those that believed on His name. John chapter 1, verse 12. It says, but as many as received Him, hallelujah, how many of you have received Christ? Amen. It says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Hallelujah. So once we have believed on Him, hallelujah, and you know, you can only be born again by faith. Not by works, lest any man should boast. Hallelujah. But to those that believe on His name, to them, to us who believe on His name, He says He'll give us power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. See, God didn't create us to become good churchgoers. He called us to become sons of God. Hallelujah. There's either sons of God or sons of the devil. Anybody here want to be a son of a devil? I don't see anybody hands raised, thank God. And you can reject that heritage by walking in submission to the living God. So we see we need something in order to become sons of God. We need His power.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Do you think you can become a son of God on your own power? Have any of you tried to do good and find that you don't? Paul found that out in the book of Romans. He says, why do I do the things I don't want to do? And the things I want to do, I don't do. He sees that there is a sin nature working in him. And it's only the power of God that can help us to overcome that sin nature. All right, I want us to turn to the book of John, chapter 7. John 7, verse 38. Praise the Lord. We can go up to 37.
27.
Praise the Lord. All you children still listening? All right. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you're being obedient. Praise the Lord. Let's read John 7, starting in 37.
7:37.
It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Hallelujah.
37. Kurunun ay tao yung hawo panina sa narako o pailma. Siya na ito narako sama sa imong susulatan dito sa Indian magabaha ang nasuba sa buhing tuig.
Verse 38 says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Hallelujah.
Okay, let's go. Siya na ito narako sama sa imong susulatan.
Now the Bible says that out of his belly, it's not talking the natural belly as much as it is from the heart. Hallelujah. So these living waters, you and I need it to be flowing out of us. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Huh? Can we say amen?
Amen.
The living waters represents the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Which Jesus also spoke to Nicodemus when he had spoke about the need to be born again to see the kingdom of God. Because on that very same verse or the next verse, he says, you must be born again of water and of spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You remember I was telling you when I was first saved, how when I was first saved, I received the blood of Jesus Christ. And just that very life of the blood propelled me for the next 2 months into a place of just night and day desiring God. I couldn't get enough of the Word of God. Never read the Word of God before, but once I was born again, Sister Marissa, it was like the words jumping off the page into my heart. And the more I read, the more I wanted God. Now remember, the life is in the blood. That blood was enough to give me enough life to keep wanting God. Wanting God. Wanting God. Wanting God. An appetite to break the chains of darkness. The right of Satan that had held me bound in my life, not only me, but my family. Hallelujah. I didn't know nothing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All I knew was that someone said to need to be born again, and I said I wanted it. But then, as being a born-again person and starting to meet Christians and starting to read the Word of God, I started to hear about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And some people were beginning to speak about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I met Christians who said, well, that's of the devil. Another said, no, it's not of the devil, it's God. And I was probably 7 weeks old in the Lord. And I went up to my bedroom as I went every day to seek the face of God. And I said, God, I read about this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some say this and some say that. Lord, what do you say? If this baptism of the Holy Spirit is real, I want it. I was raising my hands in my bedroom, praising the Lord, and the Spirit of God fell upon me. And when the Spirit of God fell upon me, I began to speak with other tongues. Hallelujah. Now, I wasn't seeking after the speaking in tongues. I was seeking after God. And God comes to me in the form of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You go and you ask people, well, what is the benefit of the Holy Spirit? Oh, if you talk to Pentecostals, they will say, well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for the gifts of the Spirit. What do you think the reason is why God gives us the Holy Spirit? What's that, sister? Give you more what?
Strength.
Yes. Because, you see, the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit is to make us holy. You cannot make yourself holy. Is anybody here that could raise their hands and say they can make themselves holy? Three easy steps? No. No, it is by the power of God
that
God comes. Now let me just share this with you. For Jesus was speaking to the disciples. He said, if your father came to you, and you were asking your father for a piece of bread, would your father give you a stone? Huh? Come on, we've all had fathers. Huh? No, your father would feed you, right? Or if your father, if you came asking for an egg, would he give you a serpent? No. And Jesus says, well, if your father's being evil gives you good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father give of you of the Holy Spirit to those who ask?
Hallelujah.
I remember as a young man, there was a pathology doctor in our city who had started coming to our meetings, a pathology doctor. And we came to his home. He invited us to his home that we would have a meeting. And he had all these books on how to get the Holy Ghost. How do I get the Holy Ghost? Read this book. Read that book. Read this book. You can't get the Holy Ghost by reading books. The man was a very intelligent man. And he was trying to intelligentize a way to receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. His lack was he had not the heart to believe for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, it's a funny thing. Maybe the word funny isn't the right word, but it's sort of strange. You have an altar call and many people come forward, but not all receive the Holy Spirit. Why? Why? Because the heart is not prepared to receive the Holy Spirit if you don't receive it. You're like a vessel. A pitcher. That water wants to come into you. But that pitcher has to be empty. Huh? It has to be empty, waiting to be filled. Hallelujah. Sometimes we have seen blockages in people who do not receive the Holy Spirit. Because they have unrepented sin in their life. Hallelujah. Do you think that the Holy Spirit will come into a vessel with unrepented sin? Huh? No. No. Can we say no? Say no.
No.
Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is holy. You see, God knows that we're still not fully changed yet. That's why we need the power. We need the power. Hallelujah. Children, I'm losing you. Pay attention. We need the power in order to overcome so that the Holy Spirit can take control in our lives. Hallelujah. But there has to be, first, you have to be born again to even be able to receive the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit cannot come into you unless you are born again. Hallelujah. So if you have never been born again, and the Spirit of God is speaking to you this afternoon, we will make an opportunity for you to come forward to us to be born again. Hallelujah. The only requirement to be born again is to have the faith in Jesus Christ and to repent of your sins. Hallelujah. Otherwise, you will never be part of the true church of God until you are born again. Okay, now we're talking about these living waters. Huh? Hallelujah. Living waters. How many of us want living waters?
Amen.
Just a few. How many of you want living waters? Hallelujah. Well, you can have it if you believe. He who asks receives.
Huh?
What does it say? Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah. So these living waters. I thought I had everything I needed when I became born again. But once I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Brother Lito, it brought me into a greater dimension of God than what I had experienced those couple months before. Hallelujah. There were more challenges in my life. Hallelujah. You read, if you want to know more of the nature and character of the Holy Spirit, I would suggest reading of John 14, 15, and 16. Hallelujah. It speaks of the nature and character of the Holy Spirit. He's called the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit is a person. Just like Jesus. He's the third person of the Godhead. It says he is the Spirit of Truth. He's also called the Comforter. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's speaking of the Holy Spirit. Because once we are born again, and we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes in our spirit to dwell within us. But now the work of the Holy Spirit is to change our personality, our soul. Hallelujah. The way we think. Come on now. The way we think. How many of you have problems keeping your mind stayed on God? Come on. Am I the only one?
Is it?
Everybody here, you don't have no problems keeping your mind stayed on God, do you?
Huh?
Come on, I have difficulty keeping my mind stayed on God. I need the Holy Spirit to give me the mind of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I need the Holy Spirit to take control of my emotions.
pagbati.
I need the Holy Spirit to take control of my desires.
Hallelujah.
I need Him to take control of my will.
Hallelujah.
The word also tells us that the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth. Amen.
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 Has anyone here ever been deceived? Anybody here ever been deceived? Huh? Come on, raise your hand if you've ever been deceived in your life. You know what I mean by the word deceived? Not everybody, Brother Edmar, what's the word for deceived in your Filipino language? Like being taken, huh? All right, so it's like someone coming and being, looking like a nice person, and when you walked away, they stole your wallet, right? Huh? So how many of you ever been deceived in your life? Come on, I'm talking to you. Come on, some of you older people back there, you're about my age. Come on, you've been deceived.
Huh?
Come on, we're trying to get an understanding of human nature. Hallelujah. Are they saying the right word? Okay. Well, let me just tell you this. As a young Christian, I began to meet all little cross sections of Christianity. People I liked. True brethren that were born again. True brethren that were born again. Some were from the Baptist church. Some of them were from little independent churches, and some were from the Assembly of God church. And then I met some brethren that were of like mind as what we were. They had the teachings of the tabernacle. So one day, after having Bible studies about this tabernacle, I go to this brother that belonged to the Assembly of God church. And I said, "Oh, do you know these brethren here?" And he looked at me and he said, "Oh." He said, "Be very careful. They teach false doctrine." And it immediately brought confusion to me. It brought confusion to me. I thought, I believed in these brethren. And yet I believe in this brother from the Assembly of God Church. And I would talk with God. You know it's important to talk with God.
Huh?
It's important to talk to God. So I was troubled. Because here I am a new Christian and I thought all Christians were wonderful people. And I had a job where I could walk every day and talk with God. And I'm struggling in my heart, thinking, well, who is right? Who is wrong? I said, "God, help me. Show me, God." And the Spirit of God said, "Go to those brethren. Ask them." Immediately I got a peace. And I went to those brethren and I said, without trying to lay blame on anybody, I said, "I was told that you believe such and such and such." Now I didn't know it, but they knew who was saying things against them. And They just laughed. They laughed a little bit, and then they said, "Here, let us go through the Word of God." I knew that that was the true Word of God. Come on, brethren. I'm talking 35 years ago that this happened. And the Spirit of God came to help me to discern between good and evil. This man from the Assembly of God Church was being used of the devil to try to get me away from the truth. Hallelujah. Come on. Why am I telling you this story? I want to encourage you that if you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need to trust the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. How close are you in your relationship with God? I'm challenging each and every one of you. If you are not close with God, I encourage you to get close with God. Hallelujah. You know, Christians can become dull. 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 Like a knife that's dull and you can't cut anything.
Huh?
Dull. Have you ever felt that you have become dull in your Christian walk? Dry? Huh? Come on. You're looking funny at me. Huh? There is a way of getting back to God, and it's through repentance. Repentance. Does anybody know what repentance means? What does repentance mean? Repentance means change. Change. Change.
Huh?
You know, I find when I get very close to God is when God sees that when I call upon His name, I mean it. Hallelujah. We can fool one another, but you can never fool God. Come on. We can come in here, we can fool one another. Put on nice clothes, smiley face. Oh, how are you? Oh, I'm wonderful. And all the while, there's darkness within me.
Huh?
Come on. I believe this weekend, God is wanting change in our lives. I'm believing that this weekend, God is wanting to awaken us to righteousness. I believe that God is wanting to touch each and every individual in this room if they are willing to be touched. Hallelujah. You read your Bible. God moved every time faith was found in Israel. He said that if you even have, Sister Merlinda, the faith of a mustard seed, you can say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be done unto you." Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, it's really us that hinders God. Huh? It's not that God... It's not by saying, well, if God is able, God is always able. The Bible says that He who keeps Israel never slumbers, never sleeps. Hallelujah. Come on, brethren. You wake up at 3 in the morning in your trouble, God is there.
Amen.
Right? God is there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm sharing something that I felt God is wanting to say to you all. Is get closer to God. Call upon His name. You see this picture of the tabernacle? It's a picture of the church. There's some people out here don't even know Jesus Christ. Out in the world. Out in the wilderness. In Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. Type of darkness. Hallelujah. If you have come here this weekend and you have never experienced or have asked Christ in your heart, if you've never been born again, God is giving you that opportunity this weekend. Hallelujah. And those that are born again, there is a progression in God. God didn't save you just for you to have His blood. God saved you in order to become grown, mature sons of God. Hallelujah. I said all that. Okay. Yeah. All right. How many of us want to be mature sons of God? Huh? When we become born again, we're like a little baby in the kingdom of God. In order for babies to grow, they have to eat, right? They have to feed, and we need to eat upon the word of God. In the book of Romans chapter 8, it says, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Or that word for sons is huios, means a mature son of God. Hallelujah. So we grow by obedience to the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. I want to see a raise of hands. How many of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And if you don't understand what I mean, don't raise your hands. Just if you know you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay. We see a number that doesn't. The purpose of the Holy Spirit in your life is to bring you into that relationship for you to be changed. You need to obey the Spirit of God, because it's in that progression. Because out here, the brazen laver is symbolic of baptisms. Water baptism, Holy Spirit baptism, and baptism into the Holy Spirit. And that obedience to the Holy Spirit will bring you into a place of maturity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There may be some here that have been born again that need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you are one of those and are desiring it, God wants to fill you during this time here. Hallelujah. If there's sin here in the midst, God wants to deliver you. Hallelujah. I believe that as the meetings are going on, that God is knocking at the doors of your heart. I mean, this is the type of God we serve. He sees us at all different levels. And only you and Him knows what's in your heart. Hallelujah. God's wanting to touch you today. God's wanting to meet each one of you where you're at today. Back to John chapter 7. As Jesus said, he who believes on me, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Open the door of your hearts, brother. Open your soul up to God. Like a bird reaching up to its mother wanting to be fed. Open up to your Heavenly Father and He will give whatever you need. If you need to be born again, He's here to meet you. If you are here and you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, He's here to meet you. Hallelujah. If you have been a Christian and not being obedient to God, God is here to forgive your sins and to give you a life that comes as we come into a place of repentance and change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God wants His temple clean. He wants to fill His temple. Praise the Lord. May God bless you today.
Amen.
Amen.